Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
This is Spouting Off, and I'm Karen Cataline, your proud and humble host. I try to be humble. Anyway, it's Tuesday, August 21st, 2018, and there's just news upon news upon news. The hardest thing for me as a talk show host is trying to narrow down what to talk about, because there's so much to talk about, and I never seem to have a shortage of opinions. As we speak, there's news breaking. Cohen, Trump's lawyer, is reaching a plea deal with prosecutors, and that's an ongoing story. So we don't know exactly what's going on. A lot is going on in the Mueller, in the whole Russia collusion fantasy. And I am proud to tell you who we're going to have as guest in the second half of the show. And, you know, in Spouting Off, you never know exactly when the second half begins. It can begin around 2:20. It can begin around 2:30. And if you're on the East Coast, that's 4:20 and 4:30. And, well, you know, change the times accordingly. Or if you're listening online to the podcast, it could be 3 in the morning. You know, I'm not real fond of Barbara Streisand anymore. I used to. You know, I used to marvel at her talent, having had an early career in musical comedy. I loved, you know, to watch Barbara Streisand, but her politics just make me crazy, like it is with a lot of Hollywood types, most of them. But she did say something really, really funny. Years and years ago, I read a quote that she said, the reason that she loves doing film instead of Broadway is because she could be home shaving her legs and giving the performance of her life. So I appreciate podcasts. I don't know if I'm giving the performance of my life, but I do love this so much. So we got a lot to talk about, and I certainly do. I got a lot to spout off about as usual. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call toll free 888-627-6008. Or direct, sort of all the same thing if you got a decent cell phone, 323-744-4831. So, what shall we start off with? Well, one of the things I want to start off with, maybe on a personal note, but not really, is that I spent about 3 or 4 days writing my most recent op-ed, which I am delighted and pleased was just published yesterday in Town Hall. It's called Masterpiece Cake Shop 2. If you can't say no, your yes means nothing. It's amazing how much time it takes me to write about 840 words, but that's because I keep polishing and polishing and changing and changing and what have you. And I think it's a good thing, because once those things go out there in the ether, They're out there forever. You cannot change it. It is written in stone because they've gone everywhere. Kind of like a podcast of Spouting Off. You never know where it's going to go. Anyway, the reason I chose to write about the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, it is most certainly a national issue, and it is an issue that pretty much the whole country on and off has been going through for the last 6.5 years. hailing from Colorado and living in both Colorado and Wyoming, I've watched this case close up, and it has such enormous ramifications. And for those of you who may have been living under a rock, we're not going to talk a great deal about it, but I do encourage you, if you would, to go to either Town Hall, and I'm going to it right now. You can hear my little fingers dancing across the keyboard. You can find it. The neat thing about these pieces in Town Hall, because Town Hall is such a neat, wonderful site that has a huge reach. I'm happy to say that right now my piece, Masterpiece Cake Shop 2, if you can't say no, your yes means nothing, is trending on Town Hall. It was posted yesterday. So the reason I call it Masterpiece Cake Shop 2 is because the sequel to this case, which we thought was completely over, when in June the Supreme Court decided in Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, in favor of his position, which was, it was a little bit convoluted. Of course, both sides tried to spin it, but you couldn't really avoid the reality, thank goodness, that it was a 7-2 Supreme Court decision. The left seems to have thought then that the case still hadn't been decided. And voila, we have Masterpiece Cake Shop 2. And in the sequel, we have a new discrimination charge leveled at Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, that he has discriminated against. Now, the charge was leveled by the CCRD, one of those unelected kind of bureaucratic organizations called the Colorado Civil Rights Division. All right. And they ordered Jack Phillips into compulsory mediation, which you got to love that term, for a discrimination complaint that they thought had merit, of course, by Autumn Scardina, a transgender attorney who requested a custom cake to celebrate his or her, and that's how I refer to it in the piece, I'm not going to be bullied into using pronouns that the left, you know, requires that I use. That's called free speech. Scardina has also alleged to have targeted this particular shop, and I've been there. I was there when the case began, when there were fundraisers for Jack Phillips and his cake shop for the original charge of refusing to bake a custom, that's important, wedding cake for a gay couple because he is a devout Christian and he doesn't celebrate gay weddings. Well, I'm telling you, would have thought that the earth should swallow him whole for daring to say no to the left's little precepts about what we are supposed to think and believe. So that's what the case is and my piece is about. One of the things, it's funny, as this piece has kind of made it out into the world, it's always fun to see what people focus on in what I wrote. And so, as I say, I encourage you to go to Town Hall or go to my website, www.karencataline.com, where all of my op-eds are housed. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, we hope most of them good. And the piece, the part of it that I thought was one of the best lines is one of the lines that nobody picked out. So since I wrote it, I'm gonna read it to you verbatim, which is this. In the new CCRD complaint, it's the last line of this paragraph, Autumn Scardina emphasizes that he belongs to a protected class. The left used to embrace the Equal Protection Clause, but now they prefer EEOC regulations that have established these protected classes. And this is a real problem, and that's what I wanted to write about. The result is unequal protection under the law. It is suddenly okay to think some people are more equal than others. And this is the wrong paragraph. I'm reading you the article and I'm reading you the wrong paragraph. I'll finish that sentence and find the one that I wanted to read. Some people are more equal than others. In fact, they're prepared to force you to think so. So here's the one that I like. Why is it that the people who are the least fit to lord themselves over you are usually the ones who want to? And as far as I'm concerned, that is one of the themes of the piece. The most inconsistent, emotionally driven, erratic, and sometimes insane left, they're the ones who have appointed themselves lord and master over you and me. So why is it that the people who are the least fit to lord themselves over you are usually the ones who want to? You know, the really, really smart people who believe in individual freedom and that they don't have to agree with you. But years ago, we used to say that they would defend to the death your right to say it, which the younger generation today have never heard of that phrase because they weren't taught it in public school. God forbid there should be anything positive about the United States of America taught in public school. And basically, it's the smartest people who know and who are not threatened by other people's right to dissent. Remember when the Democrats were screaming about how much of a right they had to dissent, but that's only their right. It's not your right. You have no rights to dissent as far as they're concerned. So that's my piece. It also gave me a great opportunity to use a phrase that I came up with years ago when I was an assertiveness trainer, which is, if you can't say no, your yes means nothing. And that's an important phrase for all of us in our personal lives. But as I said in my first paragraph, we have really a lot bigger problems. I said it better than that. We have even bigger problems when our government typifies that belief that you can't say no. Well, if you can't say no, friends, you're a slave. You're basically enslaved. And that's why this case is so important. So I encourage you to follow the case. It's an important one. I don't know what's going to happen next, but you can be sure that I'll probably be commenting on it. And if you'd like to donate, I'm going to give them a free plug. If you'd like to donate to the legal organization, which is a nonprofit that defends Jack and may in fact have to defend him all the way to the Supreme Court again, it's called the Alliance Defending Freedom. You can look them up online. You can donate. You can assist, whatever you want to do there. And I think they need money because they get attorneys to do this and to defend their clients at no charge to the client. I don't know, you know, where they get all their money, but I hope that you will consider donating to that valuable cause because Jack's case is our case. And it does affect all of us. I was on a tear last week because there's so much to say about the media and their unbelievable hubris, their unbelievable, I've run out of words, talk show host runs out of words, what they think they are entitled to. Now, I think I was getting ready to tell you who my guest is after the break, and I didn't get around to that. It's Brian Maloney, and I am so excited to have him. We may even break a little early. I'll wrap things up here so you can meet and enjoy the thoughts of Brian Maloney, who is co-founder of the Media Equality Project. So I actually want to talk with him and ask him some of the questions I've been talking about the media. He also can talk a lot about John Brennan and what I called on Facebook the left's new entitlement program. So not only do they believe in lots of entitlements for everyone, as long as you're not a white male, but if you are belong to any group that they've decided that they want to bribe you into voting for them, they're going to make you into a victim. So you can get special privileges, protected classes even. You could be a part of a protected class because they want your vote. And they want you to believe that they are a champion of your rights. But as I say in that piece that I was mentioning earlier, I don't think protected classes help even the people they were designed to protect. Not at all. I think it is a ruse. I think it's a lie. It isn't true that they want to protect you. And in fact, they're doing a disservice to those people. You'll have to pull up that article and read it and see why. Feel free to comment there or write me at Karen@KarenCataline.com and let me know what you thought of that piece. But getting back to the media, which was where I was going before I rudely interrupted myself. Getting back to the media, Brian Maloney founded this project called the Media Equality Project and stopped the scalpings. And I revere this sort of thing so much. I'm always interested because after being a political watcher for as long as I've been, and there are people watching it a lot longer than me, the Republicans are little wusses when it comes to fighting back against the media. It seems, in fact, that Donald Trump is doing it single-handedly as he continues to put their hair on fire, along with the left and along with a lot of very disingenuous Republicans who they made all kinds of excuses, all kinds of they were willing to overlook so much with George W. Bush because he was a Republican president. But look at what they are not willing to overlook in Donald Trump. Donald Trump has won, for one thing. I sometimes get the feeling Republicans just don't want to win. A good many of them just don't want to win. They don't like winning. And my theory about this, as I wax all over the place, is that they're getting their goodies either way. You know, they're getting their palms greased, whether they're in the minority or in the majority. So what do they care? And what this does is it's so disheartening and with a sense of betrayal of the people who brought them there, who sent them there, who voted for them, who walked districts, who opened their pocketbooks for these people who don't care whether they win. So these midterms are going to be fascinating to watch. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. I don't expect a blue wave, but it is going to be very, very important. And we have to consider it kind of like the Masterpiece Cake Shop 2, the sequel to the Donald Trump miracle that happened November 8th, 2016. Because if the left has their way, and people have said this and it's true, the left has shown they have no bottom. They're willing to go after and even talk impeaching a president before he's had a chance to serve one day. I will continue to point to that forever because Maxine Waters epitomized the outrageous unfairness, the ridiculous notion that they have any credibility whatsoever, looking to impeach a president before. I mean, I'm sure the Democrats were going, shh, 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 come on, Maxine, you gotta, you know, buck up. We're not supposed to say that. I mean, we agree with you. We're gonna try to get rid of him. We're gonna try to develop a coup and reverse the votes of people who voted for him despite real probable voter fraud. Donald Trump still won. And yet, low IQ Maxine Waters is not bright enough to keep her mouth shut. So I revere and I love Maxine Waters. I love these people who continue to tell the truth when the left wants them to shut up and lie. So I don't think it's permanent. I think they're going to start lying again soon. But right now, I relish the fact that they're telling the truth. They're telling the truth about their communism, their love of socialism. They're telling the truth about their evil, hateful, vitriolic selves. And this is all helpful to us. So in fact, it's something I'm going to ask Brian Maloney about, which is, you know, the media is so unhinged that they really are helping us. They're helping us a lot. So that's what we're going to do right after the break. And just to wrap it up here, there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, if I have it handy. I don't. So I think, you know, sometimes you can get overwhelmed with so much stuff, you don't know what to say first. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our break right now. And when we come back, we will be joined by Brian Maloney, And he's going to tell us all about the Media Equality Project, as well as some of the really hot issues that website is covering right now. So you want to join us for that. This is Karen Cataline. We're going to come right back, and this is Spouting Off. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Chandler, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the continuing relevance of the Constitution.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
We're back. This is Karen Cataline, and I am delighted to have with us on Spouting Off, Brian Maloney, who is the co-founder of the Media Equality Project, creator of Stop the Scalpings, which is a Facebook group of over 100,000 members, and publisher of Media Equalizer, a longtime radio host, he is, and political analyst. Brian founded the Radio Equalizer website in 2004, and he is a frequent guest on cable talk channels. I've seen him there, and he appears on Fox regularly with Hannity and the former Bill O'Reilly in O'Reilly Factor. But there's just so much going on. Welcome to Spouting Off, Brian Maloney.
Thanks for having me on.
Great, great. Well, let's start, since we happen to be having you on at a time when a lot of news is breaking. But let's start with you telling us and our listeners more about the Media Equalizer and what you do and how they can participate.
Well, I wear a lot of hats, and so I don't even know where to begin when someone asks me that. But essentially, we have a group that's dedicated to fighting back on behalf of conservatives against the liberal media and the swamp in D.C., and we just jump in wherever we can. We have a group on Facebook called Stop the Scalpings, and it has 111,000 members. That's Stop the Scalpings. If any of your listeners would like to join, we'd love to have them. And that's been built up over about a year and a half. And so we're active there every single day, and we are really creating a permanent fighting force to fight back. MediaEqualizer.com is for our news updates, and we keep very, very busy with media and activism efforts. And, you know, like I said, I don't know where to begin.
Well, it's a really important site for people who, what I said before the break was the reason that one of the many reasons I'm such a fan of your work is because long time and not so long time conservatives and people on the right side of the aisle have watched as Republicans have just gotten their heads handed to them by the media, and the fact that Republicans seem to have, at least until Donald Trump, a real distaste for fighting back. So,
well,
God
I think that
love
has
you.
Been the case. That has been the case. I think that we have traditionally been playing catch up, and you know, the left still controls the mindset and the way the information is disseminated, and then we respond and react. We don't set the table. They do, and then we have to deal with, you know, what they've done. So, and I'll give you an example. You know, this story that hit over the weekend that all the Democrats were tweeting about and screaming about, this father-to-be apprehended by ICE, you know, as he's driving his, you know, driving the expectant mother to the hospital for her C-section, and that was being used as a reason why we, you know, should abolish ICE. And then, you know, after they get everybody all stirred up in outrage, how could ICE do that? That's so cruel. You know, he's there to help her give birth, blah, blah, blah. Well, then, you know, the information emerges hours later, and the media doesn't say much about this at all. But it turns out, as you may have heard, that he was wanted for murder, and the warrant was issued by the government of Mexico. So
that's right.
I mean, so we were essentially complying with the request by Mexico to apprehend a murder suspect. So I don't care what, you know, what, I mean, you know, it's not like she was going into labor. It was a pre-scheduled C-section, and the guy shouldn't have been out on the streets at all. I don't care what the circumstances were. That's a dangerous person. And if Mexico's, you know, concerned enough to want him apprehended, then we definitely do, I would think. So, but that's the kind of thing. So did the media highlight that? No. They barely mentioned that. Some of them corrected the story, some of them didn't. But in the meantime, Democrats were out there screaming about this. So this abolish ICE business is just ridiculous.
Well, Brian, I hope they keep talking about that because they keep choosing losers, loser issues, loser positions. You know, I get so many things I could ask you just from what you just said. But the attack of honesty that the left is having about their positions on socialism, on their the fact that they really do want open borders, that they really do want to take your guns away. As far as I'm concerned, even though I love that we need to fight back, we have to fight back. But what they're doing is a gift. It's a total gift. It's much harder to fight back when someone's lying, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And it is a gift in that the problem is, from the Democrat standpoint, is they have to pander to the extreme left base. And keeping them happy is getting harder and harder because they're moving more and more to the extreme with weird positions and weird philosophies that they're trying to force down people's throats. I mean, and some of it's quite humorous and some of it's not suitable for a family radio program, but, you know, The bottom line here is that they keep having to appease the base, and it's ruining them with everyone else. You know, an interesting thing, there's a story in the Oregonian newspaper yesterday that's been going around, Fox covered this too, about this guy who went to this protest fascism Antifa thing, a march in Portland, Oregon, and he's on the left, he's a leftist. But Antifa attacked him anyway because he wasn't far enough on the left for them. They actually beat him to a pulp. And the reason why they didn't see him as suitably leftist was because he was holding an American flag. And they said, no, put the flag down. That's a symbol of oppression. And when he wouldn't, they kicked him in the head. I mean, they beat him bloody. I mean, it's been making the news a lot today, even though it happened about 3 weeks ago. There's a story about his recovery, and it's been picked up by a lot of people. the bottom line is he showed up there to support Antifa, and they ended up beating his brains out. So
sounds like a candidate for walk away to me.
Well, it sure does, and that's the bottom line. So what's happening now is it's not only that the left is trying to wipe conservatives off the face of the earth, but it's not even enough to merely be liberal or merely be on the left anymore. Unless you're on the extreme left, then you need to get beaten up too. And that, so it's a thug kind of movement that the left has fostered, and they're trying to appease. I mean, it's very dangerous on their part. And they're not seeing, because this is just going to happen over and over. It's going to get a lot worse from here, and they're not thinking about that. But November's election, I think we still have a battle ahead of us. I think we're going to have to fight really hard. I don't want to get too complacent, and I'll tell you in a second about some of the plans that we're making for November.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we've created a super PAC called Red Wave America, and we're ready to kick it off within the week, and we're going to be targeting 10 of the biggest races in the country, and we're going to be kind of crowdfunding, fundraising for that with billboards, digital ads, and various different things, radio ads. We're going to be going into each district and trying to make the biggest difference we can in 10 places. That's where we're going to start for this year. And then we're hoping
Can you go ahead and give us those? Because this show is heard across the country on the internet and elsewhere. So I'm curious to know, what are they? Can you rattle them off? Or
well,
most
we're still
of them
finalizing the list. Well, we're still finalizing the list, but we have some definite places where we want to be active. We're definitely targeting Nevada, definitely targeting Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And there are a couple of other places where we may go as well. We may go into Virginia and Tennessee. There are different places where we intend to go. And, you know, we're being a little bit flexible because we're kind of watching how some of these races go at the moment. I mean, we'll solidify this within the week. But we definitely are rooting for Kelly Ward in Arizona. But, I mean, that primary has to happen first. I see Arizona as just hugely important this year. Huge. Mm-hmm. That the Senate race is just going to be monstrous. There's also a lot going on in Nevada. There's several races in Nevada that we need to really look out for as well. So we've got our work cut out for us. There are also some swing races for House seats in California. So we could really pick 25 or 30 races if we had the resources to do that. And we have that kind of a list. It's just a matter of whittling it down to the 10 most urgent. And that actually is a little bit more of a tough call because, I mean, there are some that, you know, could tip the scales one way or the other here. And so you've got to be careful.
What about gubernatorial races? I got to tell you that I do a lot of talk radio in Colorado. And we have a very interesting race in Colorado for governor. Walker Stapleton versus, pardon me?
No, go ahead.
Walker Stapleton versus Jared Polis for governor. That's an open seat. And I would encourage you to look at it mostly because, and it's not because he's gay, Jared Polis is an extremely, he's probably the richest U.S. representative, represents an area that includes Boulder. So that gives you some idea.
Yeah.
Who is an openly gay just billionaire. He was one of the four. If you ever read The Blueprint, which is an expose of how four billionaires took over Colorado. Now, they didn't totally take it over, but most people sort of think of Colorado as purple at this point, which is, I don't like those colors, but it does give you an idea. Anyway, Polis is a very, very liberal guy who even the left doesn't like him. Even the Democrats don't like him, but they couldn't get rid of him because of his money. They tried to run a woman against him, and she was unsuccessful. I was watching because I thought they were going to employ the Me Too thing in a big, big way. And in fact, I want to ask you about that. But I would ask you to really look at that race and see whether you think it would be important. One of the reasons that they're a little behind the eight ball with Walker Stapleton is because he is a Bush relative, and a lot of Trump supporters are not real happy. You know the Walker and Walker Stapleton that stands for Walker. And, you know, he's a little more establishment than I personally would like. But considering the alternative, I'm for Walker Stapleton. So I encourage you to look at that. That's probably the biggest race in Colorado, except for Mike Kaufman, which is the same problem. Mike Kaufman, I don't even want to go there. Let's move on.
Actually, our group actually has a billboard running in Denver right now where we are questioning Mike Kaufman. Mike Kaufman has been siding with the left on almost everything.
Yes.
He has been out there attacking Trump. He's been out there voting with Democrats. He is actually right now trying to reimpose Obama's internet controls, net neutrality. He's trying to bring it back, but with a version that is even more extreme than what Obama proposed and enacted into law years ago, and we repealed last December in an FCC vote. Kaufman's trying to bring it back, but go further to the left. So not only is he a rhino, I mean, he might as well just switch to Democrat. And I realize that his district is very much a swing purple district, but he's so far out there away from the Republican ranch that, I don't know what possesses someone to do some of the things that he's doing.
Well, let me tell you real quick, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you can give me a call. We'll have coffee. Here's what happened. You know who Tom Tancredo is, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. A real firebrand, much loved in Colorado by grassroots Republicans who saw that he was the one who brought forth, who made illegal immigration an issue.
Sure,
one lowly little junior House rep. Kaufman took over that seat. And when Kaufman started, he sounded like Tom Tancredo.
Yep.
He was very conservative. And then voila, his seat changed and it was quite clear which side his butter was breaded on. And I say that on purpose. He would, it's all about remaining in power for Mike Kaufman. That's the bottom line. He would say, it seems like anything. And I'll stand by that. And it frustrates a lot of Republicans because, you know, he thinks the Republicans have nowhere else to go. And so they'll still vote for him. But I don't know. That's the bottom line.
I think, you know, with someone in a swing district like that, a congressman, you know, you don't have to go all the way to the extreme left. I mean, I realize that maybe you need to moderate your tone a little bit for a purple district. I get that. But you don't have to go full board lunatic, in order to, because the left isn't going to vote for you anyway. They're going to still vote for the Democrat.
Of course they will.
So trying to pretend to be a Democrat when you're a Republican, it doesn't work. It doesn't fool the left.
They
will never be fooled.
Right. And this is a problem that Donald Trump, bless his heart, has been exposing the lies, exposing the disingenuous, exposing the corruption in Republicans as well as Democrats. But let's move on because I got so many other things to ask you about. You're so much fun to talk to. Just going to have you back on. Cohen reaches a plea deal. All right, so we talked about we don't know exactly what the deal is, but he reached a plea. And, of course, the media is going to couch it that because it's Trump's attorney, well, you tell me what you think about that, and that's news that just broke today.
Well, I think that, you know, the whole situation there has been about the swamp getting back at Trump through Cohen. Cohen was the weak link, the easiest one to target. And, you know, if you saw in the last couple of months, they'd been able to flip and turn him against Trump. He'd been out there speaking out against Trump and threatening to do this, threatening to do that, trying to appease the swamp. And that may have worked for him a little bit with this plea deal. I mean, he may avoid a lengthy jail sentence, but, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, Cohen isn't someone that most people had really ever heard of before this year. And he was a pretty little-known attorney who mostly just had his clients, basically Trump and Sean Hannity, and not too many other people. And that's fine. I mean, some attorneys you know, are kept busy enough with one or two people that that's their career, and that there's nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line here is that, you know, I don't know to what extent either one of them knew about Cohen's distant past, and that's a lot of what's coming up here. A lot of the same thing with Manafort. What are they trying Manafort for? Things that happened long before Trump came to power, years ago, you know. And then they try to tie Cohen and Manafort to Trump as though this is some sort of Trump scandal. But any kind of criminal activity they might have engaged in 5, 10, 15 years ago obviously has nothing to do with Trump at all. But
you know what I think they're going for?
They don't make that distinction.
Brian, you know what I think they're going for? And this brings us back to exactly what your, you know, main, shall we say, rice bowl is that they're playing to, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, the low information voters who read headlines and don't read much else. And they figure that if these media sources that they believe in are harping and harping and harping and harping on the same thing, there must be some there. And they can continue to say Trump's attorney, Trump's former campaign manager, and people
just assume that
there must be some smoke there. It's so diabolical, Brian. That's why I love what you do. So tell us about how you fight against that.
Well, I think that, you know, it is a daily effort to try to counter that, and it can feel very overwhelming when you have the full weight of the media coming after you all the time when you're trying to fight back the truth. And, you know, I mean, you're right. That's exactly it. So that every time Manafort is in the news, they can say Trump's former campaign manager. You know, that, I mean, they could just use that language, or Trump's former attorney, and make a connection that actually isn't there. When there actually isn't a connection between what those two are accused of and Trump himself. Not if it happened years before Trump even decided to run for president. I mean, so, but as long as that distinction isn't made, if they can just plant that doubt in the minds of the average voter out there and associate Trump with scandal. So all it really is a smear effort. And so for conservatives, it's really an effort to fight back. But the problem is, you know, the platforms out there that allow us to do it are constantly undermining and cutting down conservatives and making it that much harder for us to fight back. You know, they're cutting us down on Twitter and on Facebook and on everything, on every single social media network. We're being undermined, shadow banned, eliminated. Our accounts are suspended or canceled.
And they don't care whether we know it. That's
right.
The thing.
No,
we know it. No. It's reported. They don't care because they know the power that they can have to shut people down. It's,
well, that's the bottom line.
Stunning.
That is. And really what's going on now is the center of power politically has shifted to Silicon Valley. And that's the truth. I mean, the companies are running the show now. They're controlling what we see and do and think. They're tracking our every move. And they're buying up Washington. They're purchasing the swamp, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, they are throwing hundreds of millions of dollars around Washington for lobbyists, and they're buying off people all over the place, buying off politicians. So, you know, they're taking over. So that's really where the danger is going forward. For us, it's certainly not Russia. I mean, that was invented. I mean, this Russia business is invented. But the real threat to our daily existence is Silicon Valley. It's our enemy. It's the enemy of all Americans. It's become a
monster.
I
couldn't agree more. I saw a piece, I think it was on your website, about how Soros is funding this movement. He funds so much stuff. But that he is actually funding means to shut conservatives down on social media. Do you have anything on that?
Well, actually, we wrote about that last year, in the news today. WorldNet Daily did a story about it, and so this 49-page memo. So we got a hold of it last year, and we reported on it in the summer. And every once in a while, when something comes up, that it kind of comes back in the news again when elements of the plan are adopted, and we look back and we see. So that's essentially what WorldNet Daily was doing today. It's a great story they have, by the way, there. It's perfectly appropriate to bring that back up again So Democracy Matters, a strategic plan for action. That's what this is about, that was written last year.
I love how they call it democracy, too.
Yeah, oh, there's
That's
no
great.
Democracy
That's
involved
great. It's always
whatsoever.
The opposite.
No.
I hate to be a broken record here, but sometimes I'm all about the bottom line. So what do we do to fight this guy?
Well, I think, fighting Soros is overwhelming because he has billions and throws money at left-wing groups like there's no tomorrow. I mean, he is personally funding many left-wing groups. So that is an overwhelming task for us. And the problem is, as conservatives, we don't have the financial means to fight back. So we're just doing it with volunteers and whatever we have, but we are not equipped and armed the way they are at this time. I wish we were, but we're just not. We don't have billionaires throwing money at us. If we did, we'd be a lot more powerful than we are. So,
isn't it ironic, Brian, that everything the left says, the bottled narrative of how they're for the little guy, and
right.
Republicans are mean and rich and powerful, everything they say, the truth is exactly the opposite. I just wrote an op-ed in Town Hall about that very thing. It's very much the opposite. And that's the challenge more than anything else, is to break through the cult and help people see what the truth is beyond the narrative they want you to see. And that's, again, why I I'm such a great supporter of your work, because there's not enough people out there doing the work
right.
that you're doing, you know, and you're fighting just like Donald Trump. You're fighting both the left, which is clearly against the Constitution, but a good many Republicans who claim to be for it, but really aren't.
Well,
oh,
I feel that
God.
We have to clean our own house first. And so I think we have
yes.
to purge our own side of the rhinos and the phonies and the ones that have been bought off. And so that's, we have to have a side we can be proud of.
I guess for me, I wonder what you think about this, and I sort of alluded to it before, that the honesty, well, actually the greatest gift I've ever seen in our lifetime is Donald Trump. Because he's able to turn the tables on them again and again and again. I've never seen anything like it. Anybody who's watching, we never had anybody on our side of the aisle who was a fighter, certainly not with this kind of persuasive talent, which I think is extraordinary if you really, really look at it. So my point is, I think the fact that Donald Trump is putting their hair on fire on a daily basis is our best gift, because I don't know, the average Republicans are fighting back, but yet Trump is exposing them. So what we need to do is take, I would hope, a lesson from Donald Trump, you know, right?
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, Trump is leading the Republican Party, and they are kind of barely willingly going along with him. I mean, the establishment GOP would prefer that things stay, you know, the way they've been. They like the swamp. They make money off of the swamp. So they haven't wanted to change anything there. And so he's got them going kicking and screaming. And then in terms of fighting the left.
I love that you used that term. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in terms of the left, you're right, he never backs down. And we've really never had a president this
no.
powerful a force, not even Reagan, really, in many ways.
Right.
It's actually incredible. I mean, now Reagan had a different style and did get what he wanted on a lot of things, through humor and grace and just kind of, a very dignified approach. I mean, Reagan was incredible in his own way.
He would have been buried today. In today's media environment, he would have been buried.
He would have been, yeah. He would have been. But I have to say, I think that Reagan is looking down from up above, he is looking down and watching Trump, probably smiling, grinning ear to ear, because they had the same enemies. And Reagan really was
yes.
the first one that tried to get rid of the swamp. And I think Trump is there to give it a second try. And I think with some success. I mean, he really has had, I mean, the swamp is just so pervasive. I mean, it really is D.C. I mean, D.C. is corruption. I mean, it is just inherently corrupt.
It's so depressing. It's depressing, and yet it's not.
Much more than people realize, and much far worse than anyone knows. I don't think people know how bad it is. So, I mean, D.C. is just a place where people go and make a bunch of money doing whatever they have to do to make it.
Yeah.
And that's the
it's
bottom.
Like Hollywood.
That's what it is.
And it's like Hollywood. Yeah. I just have to tell you, I wrote a piece. My first piece for Town Hall was called Donald Trump is Dragging Us Kicking and Screaming into Peace and Prosperity. So I'm glad that you mentioned that,
like,
because never, and this was a line in my piece, never has such success been so unwelcome by so many.
I think that's absolutely right. But the bottom line is, when it comes to November, if the economy is still humming along like this and things are stable, I think the Democrats are going to have a really hard time. And I think that some of the crazy positions they've adopted recently, I don't think are going to help them with the blue wave. But nonetheless, I'm not taking anything for granted. I think we need to work very, very hard between now and November to ensure that Republicans maintain the majority, even if they're not perfect, which they obviously aren't. But the alternative is so dangerous,
horrible,
so scary, that we really have no choice but to go as far for the Republicans as we can, even if we're holding our nose sometimes.
We need, I'm not as up on all the races around the country as you are, but we need to get Donald Trump some reinforcements, too.
I agree with that. Absolutely. He can't
do
that.
It's clear when he goes to a rally, you know which ones he knows are going to give him some help in Washington.
Absolutely. And he's been picking those pretty well. I mean, it's been interesting to watch. And you see where he's going and holding his rally. His rallies are just remarkable. I mean,
they're wonderful. He has one tonight, I think, that I'm going to have to watch. He's got one tonight.
Every single one of them is just amazing. I've never seen anything like it, really, in politics. I mean,
it is amazing, isn't it?
Torn up the playbook and rewritten it his way. And it works so well.
And
it's just shocking.
The way that our side, these, you know exactly who are the swamp Republicans, because they hate his style. And I'm thinking, you know what? If anybody else but a Donald Trump had that style, they wouldn't be upset about it. It's because he represents the end to their rice bowl. That's the second time I've used that term today.
Well, I think you're right about that, and that is the bottom line. So anything that threatens the money-making enterprises in Washington is going to be fought. So that's what makes Trump an enemy, even among many in the Republican Party in D.C., so, you know, I mean, he really actually is fighting for the people of America, and it's we're just not used to having someone that actually does that. But there's no other, you know, I mean, Trump's not in it for the money. He already has the money. He's not even taking a salary. So why is he doing this? There's no reason to be president if you're him other than to want to improve the country. There's no incentive to want the job. So,
I think it's clear to the people who voted for him.
Yeah.
And the media is trying to tell us, you know, all kinds of things that aren't true. I'm dying to ask this question before I have to let you go. And I only have a few minutes left. Sometimes the biggest lie is right in front of us. And there are so many other lies going on today that we don't even see it. And the thing that I just rant about when I watch, you know, Fox News at night, and I love Tucker Carlson, is that this narrative that the left has spun, you know, the whole entire Mueller ridiculous lie fantasy, and the fact, and goes back to the media. See if I can be as succinct as I can be here, and it's tough. Clearly, the whole thing is a giant show to get Trump. But the media is so obvious about pointing out this narrative and pushing a narrative that we know isn't true while ignoring the greatest, most stunning, you know, add 3 more, 10 more adjectives, scandal that we've ever seen that's ever come to light, and that is that the Democrats provided a lying dossier to lie to the FISA court to give them permission to spy on their political enemies. And yet this media that you're trying so hard to fight refuses to even mention it.
Well, because they were complicit. I mean, the bottom line is when you see CNN doing hit pieces on Republicans, they work directly with the Democratic Party. They're not reporting on politics. They are intertwined with the party. They work. They are one and the same.
They are
CNN and the Democrats are one entity. I don't think people realize just how close the relationships are, much more than anyone knows. So, they have a direct line to one another. So the Democrats feed CNN this stuff.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I'm sorry to just interject here, but it's not that they are so champion. We grew up thinking these people were objective reporters, and today nothing could be further from the truth. They're protecting their own hide is what's going on.
Yeah, well, I think that's absolutely right. I think most Americans do realize now that the media lies to us. You know, the bottom line here is that CNN's ratings are not high. I mean, the main reason why CNN has viewers is that it forces us to watch it in, when we're waiting for our flight in airport terminals. And the reason for that is they pay the airports across the country. They have a contract for this, and they pay to be shown in the airports. So, I mean, that's, when you see CNN on in public places, it's not an accident. The network pays for this. So they force feed us CNN. And we're in a, whenever you see it cranked up to the max in a setting like that, that's no accident. So I don't think that very many people willingly watch CNN. It's garbage.
It is garbage. And my favorite phrase in the minute or two we have left is, the left likes anything so long as it's mandatory. If they have to force you to like it, if they have to force you to think it, if they have to force you to believe it, which is exactly where we are today, then it must not be very good. give everybody the way that they can support you, go to your site, help you in your efforts. You need backup and you need support. We need to support
you. Well, I appreciate that very much. So we are, sure, you can find us at mediaequalizer.com. And our Facebook group with 111,000 members is called Stop the Scalpings. It's one word. When you go to Facebook, just enter Stop the Scalpings into the search bar. It'll take you to us, Stop the Scalpings. We'd love to have everyone join. And we have our Red Wave America Super PAC that will be unveiled in the coming days, and we'll have a website for that coming very shortly. So just as a little, we're just a few days from being ready to announce that. So, but we're very excited about that as well. So we've got a lot going on right now, and between now and November, it's going to be just nuts.
It's going to be hit the ground running. Thank you, Brian Maloney, for doing this, and thank you. I hope you'll come on again. You are just a delight, and I'm a fan of your work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. And that'll do it for us on Spouting Off. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more, as if there wasn't already, to spout off about here on Spouting Off.